Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Have you heard that story before, Lucas? No, you've never heard this story before. Are you all into Veggie Tales? No. You never seen that? It's a Protestant thing, but it's also something that that I think the creators of it also are Catholic too. So it's kind of an interesting, there's nothing against the faith that's in it in there, but it tells beautifully this story in a way that's graspable. You'll probably find clips of it on YouTube. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are Daniel's companions. Remember, Daniel was this great man of wisdom that we talked about on Monday. When he grew up and grew old, he was led off into exile. And here, being known for his great wisdom, he and his friends were raised up because they did what was right in God's sight. Read all throughout the book of the prophet Daniel, and you'll find out more about their story. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was the great conqueror of Israel. Great conqueror of Israel. He destroyed and wiped down everything and brought it all under subjugation of the Babylonians. And he was the great ruler. Now, after Daniel, remember, Daniel was the one who saw dreams and was able to interpret dreams. Remember, he was able to do all these great things, and he was able to interpret that dream that was going on that King Nebuchadnezzar didn't even share with him what the dream was, but he could tell him what the dream was and also give him the proper interpretation. Great gift of God, greater than all the other mages and those who are known for interpretations in the secular world. Daniel gave a prophecy saying, "Behold the world, I see it as a huge statue. And this huge statue is made up of various elements, the top part being gold. And guess what, Nebuchadnezzar? God says, you are the one who has the golden empire. You're the one at the top. And there will come those who are after you who are less good, less precious, all the way down to where he describes our present time." And because of this, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, yes, I must be really great. So what did he do? He erected up this, what was it, like a 50-foot statue made out of solid gold. Of his own image. And he said, because God has said that I am of gold, all of you must come down and come from all the parts of the greatest parts of the empire, come down and worship at this statue that is of gold of me, because God declared it. I am the golden one. And so everybody in the whole kingdom had to pay homage to him, especially those who were in places of prominence, including Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that Daniel got out of this some way by being out of town conveniently. So he wouldn't have to do it, using his wisdom there to flee the scene. That's another story, though. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though, were Jews who were uncompromising in their faith. They said, God is God and God alone. And so they refused to do it, and they kept getting nudged by everybody around there. Come on, you got to do it. If you don't bow down, you're going to get killed. And they refused to do it. All they would have had to do was just lay down on the ground and pray to their own God. They didn't have to make homage to this image. They refused to even give the appearance of evil, because they knew that if they themselves fell, that everybody else in the kingdom would say, well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're the ones who do it right. They were real followers of God. So it must be all right if we do it too. They refused to do so. And I'm going to read from you their refusal, which isn't recorded in our reading today. I wish we had the whole thing. It's like 100 and something verses. It probably would have beat yesterday's reading if we did the whole thing. It's so good. So what do the scriptures say? The scripture actually has it, and this is what it is in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer the king Nebuchadnezzar. He said, "We have no occasion to answer you according to this matter. For behold, our God, whom we worship, is able to save us from the furnace of the burning fire and deliver us out of your hands, O king. But even if he will not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will never worship thy gods, nor adore the golden statue which thou hast set up." Think of that. Can you imagine that? Standing before the most powerful person in the world, human life was considered not so precious, especially in that time. Easily could have taken the life, and it would have meant nothing to anybody. And there he is standing in front of the great ruler of the world. And they say that. I'll read it for you one more time. What did he say? They look up to him, standing face to face with the king. They say, "We have no occasion to answer you concerning this matter. For behold, our God, whom we worship, is able to save us from the furnace of burning fire, which you prepared for us, and also to deliver us out of your hands, O king. But even if he will not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not worship thy gods, nor adore the golden statue which he has set up. He's saying, we know our God is powerful enough to keep us, even if you throw us into that furnace. We know that he is powerful enough to save us, that it won't even touch us. But guess what, O king? Even if he doesn't, we will still believe. We will still praise God, and we will never turn to your gods, because there are no gods at all. Isn't that powerful? And there are ones who are doing this at what time? Long before the coming of Christ. Long before God poured out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Long before Pentecost. And yet they had the same fervor within their souls. Look at us and ourselves. Are we willing to stand that way for our faith? And we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's been poured out into our lives. And sometimes we refuse to stand up in any way to any government, to any even little persecution. Sometimes we even cower before somebody so we won't say that they're living in a wrong situation, because we know that they'll be offended and might think badly of us, or maybe won't invite us out anymore. We won't be able to have coffee with them anymore. This is the conviction of somebody who really loves God and knows that beyond the shadow of a doubt that he will protect them. Brothers and sisters, we've received something so much greater than Shadrach, than Meshach and Abednego could even have dreamt of. Today at Mass, when we receive the Eucharist, which the Eucharistic miracles that each of you have spent time before have known and recognized that he is really there. They couldn't even imagine God coming down in the Eucharist, in Holy Communion, to receive him and that fortifying power of God in their flesh. And yet they had the courage to stand. Let's ask our Lord for that same thing. Let's ask our Lord for that same gift of his Holy Spirit, that confidence that he can protect us even then, so we could turn to the prince of the power of this world, who is Satan, and to answer him in these same words. Look them up. It's chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 of Daniel. Next time you're confronted with sin, you feel like you're a coward in front of the powers that seem to tempt you to go the wrong way, come back here and read these words. We'll close with them again. Saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "We have no occasion to answer you concerning this matter. For behold, our God, whom we worship, is able to save us from the fiery furnace of burning fire and to deliver us out of your hands, O king. But even if he will not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not worship your gods, nor adore the golden statue which you have set up." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.